All right, welcome everyone. This is Blog Talk Radio. You hear it in the background. This is Portal to Ascension. We are live today. We have a very special guest. One of the guests is going to be at the convention that we got going on down in Irvine, California, where you might want to take a look at that. Go and take a look online, and you can see portal2ascension.com, or you can go to ascensionconference.com and get the dates. Make sure that you guys check that out, because it's coming up in October 5th, 6th, and 7th, down there in Irvine, California. You guys want to get your tickets and get down there and book your hotel room so that you have a place to stay. Otherwise, you'll be sleeping in your car, and you won't be able to see what's going on, right? Okay, so today we have a guest that's going to be at that conference, and this guy right here, this guy's like a real live, like if you guys watched X-Files, this is the real Fox Mulder in real life. This is the guy who actually did this stuff, and for the FBI, he was actually doing this, and we'll let him tell you all about that, right? So if you guys don't know who he is, if you haven't seen the ad that we put out that shows who I'm going to have on, I have John, D'Souza, is that how you say it, D'Souza?
That's it. Wow, right the first time. Thank you so much, Leonard.
You know, the funny story about that, the reason that I know how to say that, and I thought that that was the way you said it, was a buddy of mine, believe
suspicious.
It or not, a buddy
What's
of mine.
What's going on?
A buddy of mine actually used that name as an alias.
What?
Not John, but D'Souza. D'Souza, he used as an alias. He used to be one of those guys that would call you up and bug you, one of those vampires when you owed money and he called up and tried to get money from you. And he actually called himself, I don't remember what his first name was. I think it was Sean, but it was very close. And he called himself D'Souza. And that's not his real name in real life, but it was an alias so that people wouldn't know him in real life. They couldn't come and find him and kick his butt because he was harassed. Them. So when I saw that name, I'll bet you that's D'Souza. All right, so people, ignore that. That was just my little spiel from how I know how to pronounce his name. We have a very special guest, ex-FBI agent John D'Souza here. John, say hello to everybody.
All right, thanks, Leonard. Thank you so much. Yes, everyone, let me do my radio broadcasting opening. Welcome,
right,
everyone. This is X-Man John D'Souza coming to you from the lush deserts of Arizona. I'm very happy to be here and be discussing these topics that are so very important. With Leonard O'Neill here on Blog Talk Radio.
So where exactly in Arizona, or can you say? Are you in hiding or are you out there? I used to live in Arizona.
I'm moving around from the secret site under the Grand Canyon to the haunted western town of Bisbee to the Red Mystic Mountains of Sedona. I'm all over the place here, but I'm actually right here in Tucson, Arizona, about an hour and 10 away from Phoenix.
I was down in Queen Creek. Yeah. See, Tucson's big. I was in Queen Creek, little teeny town, south of AJ down there, about 45 minutes, south of AJ, way out in the desert there. Anyway, so let's get to it. So guys, they don't want to hear me talking about this. They want to hear you talk. So give us your background. Tell us your background so that people know who you are, what you're about, and what we're going to talk about, or what you're going to talk about, more importantly, today on Portal to Ascension's Blog Talk Radio.
Sure. I'm John D'Souza. I was a special agent of the FBI for about 25 years, over 25 years. During that time, I maintained the top secret security clearance. I worked in the global war on terrorism, violent crimes as well. But also during that time, I collected what I like to call the real X-Files. I worked on cases that had to do with the paranormal and ufology. Some of my cases actually ended up being reported in a show that started in the 90s called The X-Files. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, I got in a little bit of trouble over that, and as well as the creator of the show, Chris Carter. But we got through it. We got through it, and we did all right. We did all right after that, and basically, I've been working these cases ever since then for a very long time, and so I always at the presentation that we're going to be doing, I'm very proud to say I'll be at Portal to Ascension Conference on October 5th, 6th, and 7th at Irvine, California, along with many, many great names in ufology and in the alternative community, Graham Hancock, Grant Cameron, Jason Quitt, and many, many. Oh, Jimmy Church will be there. Jordan Sather, and many, many others. And the way that I originally got interested in this field was even before I became an FBI agent. Actually, it was long before when I was still a kid, and I had some. full observation experience that I go into and I detail in my book, The Extra Dimensionals. I also had a contact experience with some gray entities that were in my home when I was a child. And these experiences really awakened in me a desire to become a professional investigator, just to be able to actually continue the investigation into these areas to find out what they were really all about. And that's how I originally came to the paranormal. But even after I joined the FBI, I continued to get into the experience of the paranormal and ufology as well. So that's something that's always been consistent in my life throughout both my personal and professional life as well.
See, I like that. And guys, if you were when he was talking there, I want you guys to understand something that he said that he got in trouble for. And back in the day when Chris Carter went live with the X-Files, there was a rumor that some of the first episodes were real, actual files from the FBI. And you just heard it from John. They were, in fact, his files, and he did, in fact, get in trouble for that. So the rumor is no longer a rumor, guys. You just heard it from the man himself that some of his files slipped into Chris Carter's hands, and they based some of those episodes early on real, actual FBI files.
And as a matter of fact, one of the strange things about working on secret cases and things is that it's a strange thing that people wouldn't know unless you actually worked in national security, which is that I can't really talk about my own cases. Strangely enough, other people, though, can talk about my cases. And the same is true. I can talk about the cases of other FBI agents. And the reason for that is because we do not have direct knowledge of the secret stuff, unless it's your own case. You don't have direct knowledge of the secret stuff that has gone on in those cases. So, for instance, if I talk about another FBI agent's cases, I can talk about it as just my opinion because I don't have direct knowledge of the secret stuff going on in his case. So, for instance, I can talk about when I first got into the FBI, I was brought into the knowledge of cases that had occurred with other FBI agents. And as a matter of fact, I can specifically point out some of these cases are currently declassified. They are available on a database of all the declassified cases of the FBI that is available online to anyone who can just go there right now and download whatever you want for free. It's available. It's the vault.fbi.gov, vault.fbi.gov. And I can tell you one of the first files that was brought to my attention when I got into the FBI is the one that I carefully examine and that I always bring to people wherever I go. It is something called the Memorandum of Importance. It is a single one-page entry that is from an FBI agent who also happened to be a PhD. He was also some kind of a scientist. And it is available at vault.fbi.gov. And you go to that, and then you go to a tab on the right that says Unexplained Phenomena. You click on that, Unexplained Phenomena. It's a giant tab on the right. And once you click on that, it opens up all the paranormal cases that have been worked in the FBI over the last 50 years or so. And it has subcategories. One of the subcategories is cattle mutilations. Another one is the Jimmy Hoffa disappearance. Another was JFK assassination. Another one is UFOs. It actually says UFOs is one of the big tabs on the right under Unexplained Phenomena. Then you go to UFOs, where it says UFOs. You click on that, and it opens up a huge many, many, many groups of UFO document cases and groups of documents. But you go to number one. You go to the first on the left. You go to UFOs on the left, the first group one of UFO documents. You click on that, and you go to page 22 under that tab, and you'll come to one of the first documents that was ever brought to my attention. And it is on page 22, and anyone can get this and download it for themselves. It is a Memorandum of Importance dated July 8th, 1947. And it is a document written by an FBI agent who said he had an informant. And his informant, it says right there in the document, one-page document with hardly any strikeouts. There's almost nothing is struck out on this. And it says on there, my informant is supernormal. Supernormal is an old-timey word for paranormal, supernatural. And it says his informant is a supernatural being who has given him eight conclusions about alien visitors. Because at the time he was living, this FBI agent, apparently there was this huge wave of UFOs throughout the United States in 1947, in the summer of 1947. Mm-hmm. And scientists were saying, anybody in the government who has anything they can tell us about this, what this really is, please tell us. So he wrote this document in response to that. And he said basically to – he said, this is to the scientific community. And because of who my informant is, scientists may not accept what I'm about to say, but I have to say it anyway because it's the truth. And then he said his informant told him that all the alien visitors are here for peaceful purposes, that they are looking for a place, a plane of existence where they can permanently settle. That's one of the things that he said. So he said, so don't attack them. Please don't attack them with our Air Force, our jet planes. It will be a catastrophe if you do, because their technology is so far superior that it will be a terrible catastrophe. That's one of the conclusions that he gives. Then he also says, another one is, they are not coming from our space. They are not here the next galaxy over. They're not like humans. They're not locking themselves in tin cans and sailing across the universe. He says, that's not how they get here. He says they are actually extra-dimensional. They are coming here from other levels of existence, other dimensions, where they change their vibration. This has more to do with wormholes and gateways. They are changing their vibration to match our physical vibration, and that's how they arrive here. And he says the same thing is true for UFOs. He says UFOs have no one inside of them, the real ones. He says there's no one inside of them because they are themselves a sort of conscious being also. He says, and they move themselves. And he says they also arrive here the same way, and they accompany these alien visitors. They come with them to carry out small tasks for them here and there. And he says, and they are also made of a radiant matter that we could understand best as plasma. He says they have a sort of a plasma is how they're made. And he says that and all of the conclusions that he says on this document have been borne out in the years since. However, this document disappeared for many years and never really came to light, because right about the time he was putting this document out, Roswell happened. Roswell, which teaches us that the opposite, which I believe is a psyop that was put together to teach us that the opposite is true, to teach us that alien visitors are physical just like us, and they can just be getting this vehicles, and they can just crash and end up a couple of dead bodies by the side of the road, just like human beings would. But in this document, he's actually saying the opposite. He's saying that alien visitors are not like us. They are not physical. They are not physical bodies that can just end up dead by the side of the road like we saw in Roswell. That is not the correct view of this, of these alien visitors. And so this document, it's just very important that people look at it for themselves, that they download it, that they understand what is being said here, how revolutionary it is. That we have really been thinking about this alien visitor and in ufology in an incorrect way for all these years, and we need to take another look at it and see what alien visitors really, really are.
Well, and you know, Whitley Strieber, when he wrote Communion, touched on that very subject, saying that when he asked them, what do you want, That was the reason he called the book Communion. They wanted communion with us. They were from, he said in that book, and a lot of people said that he was fake, but he said in his book Communion that the aliens were not from a different place in our universe. They were from a different universe, and they were looking for, like you said, a plane of existence that they could live on and live with, and they like here where we are, and yes, it will suit them, and they're trying to live with us here, yes, but they're also curious, yes, about us. And that's why he said that in that book. And it's kind of crazy, because I mean, who knows? I don't know, because I'm not in his head. Did he ever read these documents prior to, you know what I mean, when he wrote the book or not? You see what I'm saying? Because if he made the thing up, because the guy wrote, what was it, Wolfen or American Werewolf in London? He wrote one of those movies, one of the stories that became a movie. So a lot of people said, well, he's science fiction and he's fake. But either way, guys, if you're listening, either way, if you've ever read Whitley Strieber's Communion, he said the exact same thing that John's saying right now. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I'm so glad you told me that, because I was not aware of the connection with Communion and Whitley Strieber that you just said. But yeah, that parallels perfectly what I'm talking about. Because another kind of subtopic in this area is alien species. And I always tell people that according to all the work and the study that I've done over the years, there's really only two types of alien visitors that really matter, and that is the benevolent ones that are seeking to help us, uplift us, actually cure people's diseases. I've seen cases of that. And the malevolent ones, the ones that have absolute contempt for human life, don't care, and just have no regard for human beings whatsoever. And both types are out there. Both types are
out there
and making contact all the time. But the curious thing is, going back to Communion by Whitley Strieber, the curious thing is that both types and all species of these alien visitors, the one thing they all have in common, no matter what, is seeking that connection with human beings. Sometimes some are for malevolent purposes, others are for benevolent purposes, to help us, to uplift us. They see us as allies. They see us as beings that they can help. But all alien visitors, they seek that connection with us because we have something they want, something they need.
Right. We have either a spark. Strieber said that we have a compassion for life that they don't have, a connection with our offspring, with our young, that they don't have. They've disconnected, and they've realized that their society won't make it without that, and they're trying to get that back. That's the reason he said that in his book as well. That's the reason for the communion. That's the reason why we have the hybrids. They're trying to find out how they can get that spark back, that connection, you know, mother to child or father to child. We can sense our children. We can smell them. We know we have this connection. They don't have that with their offspring. That's what was everything you're saying is he said in his book. And if you look at the television show of Stargate, they said the same thing, that the reason that the Greys were interested in humans was because they were a carbon copy of a carbon copy and they were dying. So it was very similar.
Right.
And they needed an upgrade. They needed our DNA as an upgrade to them. And it's all coming back to almost exactly that, being a truism, being true.
Wow.
That's kind of freaky, people.
Wow. Well, I'm going to have to read Whitley's book now, that I know it parallels tremendously my book, The Extra Dimensionals, because in my book, after I build the case and I go through the examinations of so many cases, including cases that I have known of personally, and also other classic cases that everybody has known about, Travis Walton, Betty and Barney Hill, and many others, I go through and I do the examinations, and my final investigative conclusions are very similar to the book Communion that you just said, which is that it appears to me that these alien races are, to a large extent, are created races. They are created, and there is some kind of a demiurge involved here, where these segments, these alien visitor species, have been voluntarily disconnected from their connection into the eternal, into the creator force, because we we as human beings, we have this eternal cord, this sort of cord, this eternal connection into the creator force that stays with us always. And I'm talking beyond material. I'm talking about beyond material, beyond the fake material world that we live in. And apparently these alien races, even though they, you know, who knows, they could live for thousands of years or whatever, but in the meantime, they appear to have disabused themselves of their own cord, that connection into that spark, as Whitley said, that connects them into the creator force. And now, and that's the reason, is because of the involvement of Demiurge in this scenario, where they now realize that they need that connection. They need that connection. Yep. So they need, or they need a connection into the connection, which it means a connection into us. That's how I see it ultimately.
I agree with you, because everything that I've read, you're talking about Betty and Barney Hill, and the investigator back then was Hopkins, who also wrote books, Missing Time and a couple of others who I had read when I was younger. And, you know, that's the conclusion so far that I've gathered, too. You know, just exactly what you're saying is that we have something, you know, we're the upgrade. And people think that, you know, that they're here to experiment on us like we're an ant, you know, compared to them. And I said, no, we're the upgrade. We have what they want, what they need. Okay, and there's also, if you guys think back in time to the different times we've talked on the different shows, and the different people talked about how, you know, even the Incas and the Mayans, they started you know, slaughtering each other because they were told by the gods, quote unquote, that their blood was special. Okay, so here's another in history, another example of how an alien race had told the human race that their blood, and what they, I'm sure, meant was their DNA. Right, more than just the blood in their veins, was special. And now we have John saying the same thing, that it's that it's something that we have, that connection to the universe, to the God figure, the All Father, the All God, the All Mother Spirit of the universe, whatever that is out there, and that they've lost that and they're trying to get it back. That's kind of scary in and of itself, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you know what's even more scary is that these truths that we're talking about right now are incredibly important for the elite powers in control to keep from the mainstream of society, to keep people from knowing what people call the NWO, the Illuminati, the powers that give the nations their marching orders every day. And it is to them, it is more important than controlling economics, than controlling politics, controlling other areas, social, cultural life. It is so important for them to control ufology, the paranormal, all of these metaphysical topics. They have to control the thought, the thinking on in these areas. It is extremely, it's crucially important to them. And some of the reasons are because they know these areas are real. They know these areas are true. They know these truths that we're talking about just now, that these truths are real. And they have to, at all costs, they have to keep that away from the mainstream of population. And that's why we see this constant rollout of this psyop, this psychological operation that continues throughout our society to grab the thinking, control linguistics, control the thinking in ufology, and we see the latest manifestation of that is the Tom DeLonge group that has been putting out this, rolling out this PR campaign to try to control people's thinking in this area and do this and take back the mantle of disclosure. And it's now, and right now they're being discredited by their own actions. We see that they had this big conference on October, and then December 16th they rolled out this confirmation of this, and now we see that some of the pictures that they used, that this group used, were nothing more than Mylar balloons that now has been exposed, and they have CIA officers involved with this, and Department of Defense officers and Pentagon, you know, people from the Secretary of Defense that are involved with this, you know, and it's such an obvious psychological operation that it's starting to look kind of sad that they continue to try to roll this out and make this look like it's something that is meant to enlighten people, to help people. And it's nothing of the sort. It's nothing of the sort. And that's why now, as it's being discredited by their own actions, we need to take up the mantle of disclosure. We need to disclose to each other events. And that's one of the things I do in presentations. Wherever I go, I take three cases, at least three cases on video, to show people that are incidences that have been known by people that have been previously, you know, when the orders were different. Mainstream media used to be under the orders of you got to discredit all UFO incidences no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's changed. That's changed because mm-hmm. that's part of the deep state now trying to control this area, and they changed those orders. And so now I'm bringing back some of these videos, and this will be making news because these are videos that are clear, that are known to people, and that previously under the old regime of truth embargo, previously were poo-pooed or I don't like the word debunked, but they were, you know, denied by official mm-hmm. sources and by official media, mainstream media. And now that those orders have changed, we can bring these back and we can show people, we can show them exactly where they were being lied to and how obvious the lie was. So I like to always present at least these three cases that show people. And you may know some of these cases because the first one is the 1996 Tether incident. Anybody can Google that. The 1996 Tether incident, which was the incident in 1996 when NASA accidentally let out some ISS video of the tether. There was this tether that was put out in space that was conducting magnetism and electricity at the same time, and the cord came loose and stuck straight out into space for 12 miles. It stuck out straight out into space for 12 miles, and it started conducting magnetism and electricity at the same time. But apparently what happened was it acted as some kind of a distress beacon, some kind of a distress signal, because suddenly appearing from everywhere were dozens and dozens of UFOs, these perfectly disc-shaped UFOs of various sizes. Some of them looked enormous. I mean, the perspective, when you actually measure out the perspective, some of them looked like they were about almost a mile in diameter, and they were appearing from everywhere. There's so many, dozens and dozens of them. And I'm convinced to this day that NASA meant to pull back the camera, and somebody hit a wrong button, and instead they did a close-up. Just as they were saying these are ice particles, and they were saying this is space junk or something like that. And they meant, and I'm sure that they meant to pull out the camera further away, and instead they did a close-up on the tether and the objects. And you can clearly see dozens and dozens of these UFOs. And to further verify that they were extraterrestrial technology and UFOs, they were giving off energy signals like pulses. They were time pulses, light energy signals. They were giving them off at regular intervals. And the reason they were doing that is because they were scanning. They were scanning this antenna to see what was going on with the ISS station and the antenna. That's why they were giving off these pulses. So that's one of the big cases that I try to bring to show to people and to show them how the deception was working before and how we need to break through it right now. Are you on mute there, Leonard? Then let me go on to the next one. Hopefully I'm still on. I've got the next one that I tend to bring to people is globally known case. It's the Turkey UFO of 2000. Well, it actually happened in 2005, 2006, and 2007. But it's also known as the visible occupants UFO, because it's one that was filmed in the country right off the coast in the country of Turkey. And it is the only UFO incident that was seen in where you can actually see there's a plexiglass section that's transparent, and you can actually see through as it's being filmed from the shore. You can actually see two what looks like gray-like beings inside the bubble, like the plexiglass bubble section of the vehicle. And that's another one that has been examined by every scientific board in Turkey. And it has passed muster, and every scientific board in Turkey has reviewed this video and has said this is real, this is genuine. And it is absolutely genuine extraterrestrial vehicle and possibly extra dimensional. So that's the second case that I like to always bring to people for examination and for discussion. The third one, of course, is the January 2011 Dome of the Rock UFO. That's very well known throughout the the world. It happened in Jerusalem, Israel, and it was a case where we had about one in the morning in Jerusalem, in Israel. There was a dark, starry night, and there was looked like a plasma UFO that came down, perfectly disc shaped, came down over a holy site, the Dome of the Rock, and slowly came down out of the night sky and settled right over the Dome of the Rock for a bit, and then it's suddenly gives off a flash of energy, and then just shoots straight up in an incredible speed. It just shoots straight up, and it was witnessed and videotaped by numerous people, dozens of people, including tourists, natives, and all kinds of people. So we have these videos, and of course there was a huge effort to debunk the Dome of the Rock UFO at the time, and many people remember this because what happened was, this is one of the things that I reveal, is that there are squads of people who have as their assignment, they work for the elite powers in control, and they actually all they do is go around looking for incidences of the paranormal, whether it's on YouTube or any other databases that are exposed to the public, and they actually take down the original videos, and they put up fakes, and they replace those videos.
Can you hear me now, John?
Yes, Leonard, I hear you. I was just...
I don't know what happened. I was hearing you fine, but I didn't know what happened. But for some reason, my microphone muted, and I didn't mute it. So, I had to hang up and call back, but now I'm back. I'm sorry. I don't know when that happened. I tried to talk to you, and you said, I don't know where he's at, so I was typing to Neil. I don't know why he can't. I can hear him. He's still on. Let him know that. He can't hear me. Okay. I'm sorry, buddy. Keep going. I don't know what happened there. That was weird. All right.
So those are the three examples of previously denied cases that I always try to bring to people, to show people and show them exactly where the lie is, where the deceit was. And these are cases that are going to be brought back now. And because now we're under new orders from the elite powers in control, and even the mainstream media is now under new orders. So we're at a place where even if though the Tom DeLonge group is now being discredited and they're kind of in disgrace at this point, we still need to continue the disclosure that
Absolutely.
Needs to be done. And then we need to do it even if it's on our own.
Yeah, and that's what we're working on. You know, we here at Portal to Ascension, and I also have a show off of Portal to Ascension, which is Orion Rising, and that's what we've been at. That's what we've been doing. You know, that's what we're about, because we know that the government's not going to come out and tell us, oh yeah, aliens are real. Oh yeah, they've been here. They're not going to come out and say that, like you said. And guys, I want the listeners to hear what John was saying. He is another person who completely by himself, not being influenced by us, that we've been talking about this, has came to the same conclusion that the powers that be are trying to keep us from this knowledge because there's no money in it, right? And they're getting the technology, they're getting everything, and they're keeping us down like slaves.
Right.
And they want us to stay exactly where we are right now. They want us to be like mushrooms, where they keep us in the dark and feed us full of crap. So,
yeah.
And John's telling you right now, so there's just another person who is talking about disclosure and just said to you, the only way we're going to get it is we have to do it ourselves. So, you're preaching to the choir here, buddy, because that's what we know is what we have to do. And that's what we're about. And that's why we did a lot of shows. You can go look at our archives on the YouTube channel for Portal to Ascension, or go to portaltoascension.org and take a look. We did a bunch of webinars and a bunch of interviews on this, especially in the October, November, December, because of the John DeLonge thing. At first we thought the same thing was going to be good. And then we started listening to what they were saying and said, oh, this is, you know, I hate to use that word debunked too, but we went after that and said, this is just a false flag. They're just trying to give us the same rhetoric. And let me ask you this. You know, I think this is my opinion, and this is why I'm going to ask you what your opinion is on this. I think that that one good thing has come out of all this is that they, like you said, they've only changed a little bit of their tactics, but their tactics are still the same as they were. I don't think they realize that the people are not buying it anymore, that we are not fooled by the same rhetoric. Look at the news. Yeah. The media is the same way. The politicians are the same way. They're all still acting like it's 1945 and we're stupid and we don't get it.
Right.
Am I right in that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? But we do, right? We all look at it now. We look at it. I call the news, I call it cartoons. I say, let me turn on the cartoons and see what's going on today, because it's like watching WWE wrestling. You know
yeah.
that it's fake and they're hitting each other with a chair and no one's really getting hurt.
Oh,
that's the
yeah.
way I look at it. But not everybody. And that's why we have some of these webinars we just did not too long ago about the sheeping planet, about how the people out there are sheeple, because they're just going to where the dog tells them to go. And that's what you were just reiterating. That's why I wanted to point that out. So go ahead, continue, because I know you still got more. I don't want to do all the talking. We're here to hear you talk.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's a continuing sort of rollout of this
mm-hmm.
effort by the elite powers in control to take possession of this area. Because there's a lot of awakening going on in this area, and they cannot afford that. They can't afford that. So even if the Tom DeLonge group is finished, as far as their whole thing, there's going to be another group that will take their place as well.
Yeah.
And they'll continue
mm-hmm.
because the elite powers of control cannot afford to allow this area to remain unchecked, uncontrolled. So they got to keep on pouring money into it, pouring resources into it. And they've got, no matter if the front men change, they'll change the front men and they'll just go on. So this kind of stuff just is going to keep on going on. But partly recognizing, you know, but our greatest success in fighting against this stuff is, number one, recognizing fake news, the media,
yep.
the mainstream
yep.
media is absolutely false. And I don't
yep.
mean just part of it. I mean all of it. It's all
yeah.
false. And we need to just break away from it. We need to get away from it and just get our own alternative news sources, people that we trust, people that we know are telling the truth. And we need to just stick with that, because that's a big part of it. One of the things I do in my lectures is talk about the Soviet Union. one of the final things that really destroyed the old Soviet Union in the 80s there were many factors that were involved with that, but the Soviet Union in the 80s was one of the greatest forces for slavery and imprisonment across the planet. It was a great force for evil. And one of the things that happened was that towards the end of the 80s, all Soviet Union citizens simply withdrew from the Pravda news system. They used to have, you know, eyewitness news instead of eyewitness. They used to have the Pravda news every night at 6 p.m. across three time zones across the Soviet Union. And every night at 6 p.m., they would put out this Pravda government mainline news, which is all false. I mean, all of it was false.
Yeah.
And so what people started doing was they did what we call today the dog walkers revolution. It was a very peaceful revolution. All it consisted of was people refused to watch the Pravda news anymore. And they didn't buy the Pravda newspapers anymore. Warehouses were filled with Pravda newspapers that were unbought. But people wouldn't even take that stuff for free. And people started walking their dogs at 6 p.m. all across three time zones across the Soviet Union, and they refused to watch the news. And they started noticing each other out walking their dogs. And so they could actually get together and share news from the West during that time, which was even sharing a rumor from the West was more likely to be true than the garbage they would be fed on the Pravda news at 6 p.m. And so this became a huge thing across the Soviet Union. And they said that at the end, the only people that were still listening to Pravda news were government officials. They could tell because people just withdrew. So we need to reform that dog walkers rebellion today. We need to do what they did and just withdraw from these news systems that are just
turn it off.
Exactly.
Yep. Absolute garbage. Yep. We got to turn it off. I agree. You know, I was just talking about that with a family.
Okay, are you there, Leonard? I can't hear you. Almost. Are you there? I think the elite powers in control shut us down.
Yeah, right. Turn the speaker on.
Oh, I hear something.
There you go. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I hear that. I hear you.
Yeah,
Leonard?
I don't know how I had to plug my headset. Like you said, the powers that be are messing around with the darn things. I had to take my headset out, and I'm just on
They don't want people to know history of how this...
Exactly. So I don't know how far I got, but I was saying that I was talking about in the 80s, and just like you were saying, about with the Russians and how today the people are worried because we have the Koreans, which we already faced down before. They don't know it because they're too young. And, you know, the Russians at any second were about to push the button and kill us all. They were so crazy. You know, they were so evil. It was an evil empire, like you said, an empire of slavery, that the Chinese pale in comparison to what the Russians were. The Koreans are nothing compared to what the Russians were. So I tell everybody, relax. We're going to get through this because Kim Jong-un does not want to die and he's not going to nuke anybody. So I just wanted to reiterate that to people that you were just showing how crazy that empire was. It was Russia at the time, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, I just did a TV show it wasn't history. It may have been I think it was Discovery Channel, and it was about one little segment of that Soviet Union time period, and it was called Discovering Secrets of Chernobyl, and it was. And it was about that period, and it actually was about some of the conflict between the CIA and the Soviet Union that led to the catastrophe of Chernobyl, which radiated a large segment of the Ukraine for like the next thousand years. And
right.
It was, and apparently the CIA was involved in some operation providing faulty hardware to the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union thought they were stealing from technology companies And so the CIA ran like a double operation against them. But ultimately that operation led to instability in at nuclear facilities and other energy facilities in the Soviet Union and caused some huge catastrophes. So there was that, and there were many other things that happened in the late 80s that people will never know about. They'll never know about because they were just so threatening to the entire Western world that it's amazing. It's almost not believable that we made it through that period without a major nuclear incident happening.
Right, absolutely. And let me ask you this. Let me ask your opinion on this. Now, I've heard many, many rumors that I'm going back to what you were saying in the beginning where the note, that he was going to put out said that, don't attack these beings because, we don't want to shoot them down because they're not hostile. Now, I have heard that the Russians were actively shooting down alien spacecraft and were at one point almost in a war with aliens. Now, do you know anything about that?
Well, one thing I know is that they can't shoot down genuine UFOs because the genuine UFOs are actually plasmic material, which means that they have, at least that's the best that we can understand to describe it.
Like the Foo Fighters.
Yeah, so they are plasmic type material, which means they can phase through states of material, from material to gaseous, to gas to other phases, other types of material, non-solid
right.
material. So at least that's what I have seen over the many cases that I've studied.
Well, now that's interesting that you say that, because it's interesting that you say that because I actually interviewed a guy from Australia who said the exact same thing. He had pictures, and I don't remember his name, honestly, and he was trying to stay out of his name was an alias anyways, because he was worried that he had pictures of the same thing that these craft were able to, and he kept saying they're interdimensional and they keep moving through, they can literally make themselves a whiff, a cloud.
Exactly.
They can change to vapor, and I have pictures to show you,
shape-shifting.
One that's moving in and out of this realm. And he showed me pictures.
Yes.
And I was like, dude, I think there's something there, but I can't prove it because it sounds crazy. And you're saying the same thing.
Yeah, they can be shapeshifters. They can create, they can make themselves appear as other things as well. If I'm talking about real extraterrestrial UFOs, they have those abilities. So therefore, you can't really shoot one down with a missile. You can't really, and as we saw, and look, we saw this I think it was 44, in 1944. We saw when the entire coast was militarized, California, and everyone was looking for Japanese Zeros. And we had the incident when two UFOs just showed up over California, and the anti-aircraft batteries just let go with everything that they had. And they had, 6-inch missiles. 12-inch missiles that they sent up there, and they shot and shot, and the whole night sky was filled with smoke, and just tried to destroy these two UFOs, and all they did was blow up a few people on the ground, because everything that goes up has to come down, and some of these missiles even crash into each other. They crash into each other, but as soon as the smoke had cleared, there were pictures of two UFOs without a mark on them, just clearly sailing away, unmolested. I mean, just sailing away.
And
they hadn't been touched.
They put up so much ordnance to get these guys. One of the guys that was there said that after it was over, the shells that were put up in the air, just rained down for like 15 minutes.
Right.
That's how much ordnance they threw at these things and couldn't hit them. Isn't that insane?
Right. Exactly. And, and there's people who say, oh, yeah, they did strike them, but didn't do any harm to them. And no, that's not true. Some of the shells hit each other. That's what created the explosions in the air.
But
none of the craft were marked. They were not marked because there were pictures showing them happily sailing away. And so that just goes to the plasma hypothesis that I'm talking about, that these things are not made of metal. They're not made of anything that we understand. They are made of some sort of plasmic material that can shape, that can shift, from solid to non-solid, can shift to a sort of light material. And
all right, everybody. We just got disconnected for a few seconds here, and I'm calling John and Leonard back, so just bear with us for a quick minute. We still have about 8 minutes left on the show. Leonard, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Okay, just calling John, trying to get him on here.
Okay.
I'm dialing him, but he's not answering. All right, you guys all here? Leonard. Hello. Hello.
All right, John D'Souza here.
Okay, brother, we're live. Just waiting for Leonard to come back on. Leonard, you there?
Yep, all right.
All right, guys, yeah. So Clarence is not here anymore, but we have 4 minutes, so take it away.
All right, what was Clarence's question, though? Did he tell you?
He had a comment on disclosure that he wanted to share with you guys, so I'm not too sure what it was now.
See if you can get him on the thing. Well, that's, we only got a couple of minutes, so why don't we just, I guess we're just going to have to wrap. If we're going to, yeah. You want to plug, go ahead and give your information. You said you got a book. Tell people what the book is and where they can find that book. And then also talk about the convention coming up in October and tell them that information too, all right?
Yes, absolutely. This is John D'Souza, and my book is The Extra Dimensionals, True Tales and Concepts of Alien Visitors, and that is the book that I do my presentations on, and I will be doing that presentation. Also, my website is johntamabooks.com, and I'll be doing that presentation at Portal to Ascension Conference, October 5th, 6th, and 7th, coming up at Atrium Hotel in Irvine, California, and I'll be looking forward to that. We'll be with a lot of big names there, like Graham Hancock, Grant Cameron, Jason Quick, Jordan Sather, and Jimmy Church, as well as Teresa Yanaros. So I'll be really looking forward to that. That's going to be pretty awesome thing. And I think I have...
Yeah, make sure. Take a look. You guys can find all that information that John's talking about at ascensionconference.com. You can also find out if you're interested in watching any of our archived Portal to Ascension webinars and interviews. You can go to portaltoascension.org. Take a look at that. You can also go to YouTube, to the Portal to Ascension YouTube channel, and you'll see a lot of our archive stuff, a lot of the stuff that we've been doing in the last couple of years, going around the world to touring people. So look up that information and get your tickets for that. That's going to be a really, really big – there's a lot of big talkers there like John and these other guys that you heard him talking about, right? So we only got about 2 minutes left, a minute and a half, 2 minutes left. So my name is Leonard O'Neill. I am hosting Portal to Ascension's blog talk radio show today that we kept getting kicked off of Must Bend Powers That Be. I also have a book called Orion Rising. Orion Rising is my book, and it also covers what we were talking about here about the people of Earth not being alone, and that there's aliens here on the planet with us, and that the powers that be are trying to keep us down. So you might want to take a look at that. Also, I have a talk show of my own, which is called Orion Rising, that I also host. And you can take a look at that. The information for that is on Facebook at the Orion Rising Worldwide page or Orion Rising Worldwide group. I also have Ancient Aliens group there, Ancient Aliens Worldwide on Facebook with 85,000 members plus going strong. So, yes, 85,000 members in that group. So you guys want to go take a look at that, because all the stuff that we're talking about here is also over there archived for you guys to take a look at. And I got the link up over there for the conference that John's going to be at. So you guys want to take a look at that. I don't know if I've covered everything, but I want to thank Neil, who is our host from Portal to Ascension. Neil Gore, a really good friend of mine. He's letting me host some of his shows. You'll probably see me, hopefully, if I can swing it. I'll be there in October at that conference live. So you guys hear the voice all the time. You see me on my show. You might see me there. I'm going to try and get down there. I got family things that I have to take care of. But if things go well, you'll see me down there, John.
All right. It will. Everything's going to go well. I promise.
So thank you to everybody who found this show, who listened to this show today. Thank you to everybody who's going to find this show. We got 10 seconds. So thank you very much, John, for being here. Thank you, Neil.
Thank you.
Thank you to the viewers, the listeners. Have a nice day. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, man. Take care.
All right, everyone. And Lynn, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. John hung up, though.
All right, cool. Yeah, we're still broadcasting a little bit, so I think it's still live. But, yeah, so thank you to everybody. And if we are still broadcasting, I'm just going to make one quick announcement. Leonard is joining forces with us to be the voice of a lot of things that we're going to be doing because of his great skills with interviewing. And this is part of what is our mission statement, which is collaboration, not competition. So we're joining forces with other radio shows, other conscious platforms, so that we can create, you know, something together, beautiful together. And I'm just so honored.
Absolutely.
To have
and
you
I'm
here.
Absolutely. Very, very proud to be able to do that for Portal to Ascension. And I'm honored that Neil asked me to do that. He talked about it before, but I'm honored that you had asked me that, because that's a great thing to do, because I like the idea of being able to do that and, you know, ask the questions, get out there and do that stuff. I'm proud to represent Portal to Ascension. So thank you for that.
Thank you, bro. All right, man. So we'll be in touch and communicating soon.
Absolutely. And like I said, if you got stuff set up, just let me know the dates, because right now I'm not doing a lot of my show because I'm just going to be setting up doing some webinars. So I'm trying to keep my show only got like one.